Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, P.
We're
gonna
ask Elliot about it.
On the phone from his home.
Oh, WI.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Friday at 3 o'clock, we are joined by the one, the only. Thank God, Elliot Shore Parks. Call brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliot, how are we doing today?
Man, I should have just stayed in the Eagles locker room, put my phone on speaker, and let that play for everybody to hear. So it could be the hype song for the weekend.
Yeah. So top thing for me, at least, is from an injury standpoint, is there anyone you think not going to play that we think is? Is there anyone that's going to play that we don't think is? Where are we there?
No, they seem like a very healthy team heading into this game. Obviously, no N'Kobe, no Brandon Graham, who were starters at points this season. But outside of that, Dallas Goedert, who missed practice yesterday with an illness, was back at practice today. It looked like everyone else was there and accounted for. The final injury report is not out yet. So barring any surprise that might have happened at practice today, it seems like they are about as healthy as you could hope for heading into this game.
And I saw AJ limited yesterday, but he was practicing and is out there today, I assume?
Yeah, so last week, if you remember, AJ didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday, and I think he might have even been limited on Friday. He talked earlier this week and said that he was obviously going to do more this week. So the fact he was even limited yesterday is kind of a step in the right direction based off what he did the week before. So, yeah, he should be good to go for Sunday.
Now, you mentioned N'Kobe, of course, out for the playoffs. What do you think the role for Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is going to be on Sunday?
I think he's going to play quite a bit. I don't think either him or Oren Burks is going to step in and play, you know, 95 or 100% of the snaps like N'Kobe did. I do think it'll be a bit of a committee taking over, but I don't think it's going to be Oren Burks for a large majority of them. Vic Fangio seems comfortable with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I think that his skill set actually fits well for having to step into a game like this. He's not a prospect that's come in like, I can't remember the linebacker's name from a few years ago at Colorado, but you know, he's not a
Davion Taylor.
Yeah, he's not Davion Taylor, right, where he's been drafted because of his raw athletic ability and he needs to learn the game. I mean, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. has a high football IQ. So I do think he is set to come in this game. And Vic Fangio seems very comfortable in playing him. They've played young guys all year. So I think Trotter's going to play quite a bit.
Yeah, I think his instincts will help. The fact that he's more of a sure tackler than somebody who comes up out of control and just misses tackles should help. And then more importantly, got a ton of talent around him. I mean, it helps when, you know, you got a ton of talent around you and you can go out there and sort of just do your job and make sure you do that well.
Yeah, and look, obviously we don't know what it's going to do on Sunday. I know later you guys will get the updated forecast. But I do think that his game actually fits well in the snow because it does slow everything down just a little bit. Uh-huh. So for him making his first, it's not start, but, you know, playing a lot of snaps, I think that it's actually advantageous to his game as well.
And he just go ahead and put him in the starting lineup, man. I'm already envisioning an axe swinging Sunday at some point in time.
That hammer is real, for real.
Yeah, I was wondering when the pause was coming in. But, one interesting thing, too, with this is, so Tyler Higbee, who's missed a lot of this year, he's obviously their top tight end, hasn't played a lot, but he played last week. It looks like he's going to play this week. You would think that McVay is going to try to get either Trotter or Oren Burks lined up on him one-on-one. Now, they do play a lot of zone, the linebackers, so it's going to be tough just because how they play their defense to really isolate Trotter. But that is one thing to look for. I mean, McVay is going to realize that's a new starter, that's a rookie, he has his top tight end back. So that would be one concern I would have from a Rams offensive standpoint.
I'll tell you, the story is still to be written, but we're pretty sure, obviously, about Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean as wins from the draft. But Jalix Hunt played, I think, 19 snaps last week.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, a guy who I think the general consensus is that he was going to be a project, and he was sort of forced into that because of BG's injury, but nobody forced them to play him 19 snaps. And that and Jeremiah, you know, if he's able to show something we could look at this as this draft as, like, from a defensive standpoint, is really, really a huge success.
Well, and that's why it helps when, and not to cut you off, E, but that's why it helps when you allow the person who's the architect of the defense, who knows the type of personnel he wants out there running his defense, to have influence on who you're drafting. Right, and who you're bringing in. You know, that's why I can trust Vic Fangio, because he's also had his opportunity to put his eyes on these guys. And this isn't how he's saying, here, I drafted these guys, now make it work. No, these are guys I believe Vic Fangio envisioned, whether it was this year or next year, having a role. So, and with Jalix, I think Jalix is out there. He's an athlete. He provides speed off the edges. And if you use him in the right situations, you can get some production out of him.
Well, and two things off of that. One, the fact that Bryce Huff only played one snap tells you Vic
right.
is going to play who he wants to play.
But yep.
The other thing, you know, this past year at the Combine, Howie talked about how they felt last year they didn't play enough young guys, and they leaned on going to veteran players. You look at this year, Quinyon's played the entire season. Cooper came in basically as soon as he was ready, coming off that injury from training camp. And then you bring up Jalix Hunt. Like, they had Charles Harris on the roster when Brandon got hurt, who's been a veteran in this league for a few years. Obviously, they have Brett.
I didn't remember he was here.
Him. Yeah, exactly, because they're playing the young guys. So I don't think there is a hesitation to play Trotter this week because of his lack of experience. If Vic feels he's ready to go, and the way Vic talks about him, he feels like he's ready to go, I think you'll see him out there.
So, Elliot, how do you see this one going on Sunday?
So, you know, last week against the Packers, as the week went on, I got progressively more nervous about the game, which I know you can relate to, Spike.
Yes, sir.
As this week has gone on, I really don't feel that. I just think they're better than the Rams in basically every facet. I think their offense is better than the Rams' defense. I think their defense can handle the Rams' offense. I think the Rams are not a team well set up to come play in the snow. They're more of a finesse team, in my opinion. Even their defensive line, that is very good. Like, the Rams have the better defensive line in this game. They're an undersized unit, in my opinion, especially going up against the Eagles' offensive line that is an oversized offensive line. So when you add everything up, like, I think they're going to win this game pretty convincingly. Maybe the snow makes it a little interesting because they can't score as much, but I'm going to pick them to win 27-17.
You know, we had Nick Kostos on earlier, who said actually that the snow favors the offense, and he sees the over happening because defensive players have a harder time, you know, catching up and staying with offensive players in a situation like that.
So I would agree with that overall, but when you look at this game specifically, the Rams like to throw the ball, and when you're throwing the ball as an offensive line and a pass blocker, you're being pushed back, right? So you're losing your footing. So I think in this game, it doesn't favor the Rams' offense. I do think the flip side of that is the Eagles have an offense that is, you know, not built around the passing game. So their offensive line gets to push forward. And when keeping your feet, you know, getting your footing in the snow is such a big deal, I think for the Eagles' offensive line, it's a positive. But I think the Rams' offense, it actually hurts them.
All right, Elliot. Well, you can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. I listen to Go Birds daily every day on my morning walk.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, and as I know, Ike does not.
Okay, I still appreciate you, Ike.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in fairness, we all get enough of each other here.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't need to hear you in the morning.
Yeah. And it's twice a day during weekdays now that they're in the playoffs. You get it wherever you get your podcast. All right. Oh, one quick thing, Elliot. With the weather happening, I always like to get an Elliot, you know, fit check. With the weather happening on Sunday, what are we looking at from an Elliot style perspective?
Ooh.
So I actually got a new coat I was thinking of wearing. That basically, it's like a pea coat, but it goes down. You know those really long
ones? Yeah, that's what
like
I need
down
you in.
To like almost like my ankles. So I was thinking about wearing that, and then
down to your ankles.
Yeah, it's a long one. Yeah, it's like one of those long pea coats.
Sounds like a lady coat.
No, it's a man's coat.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, very manly.
Well, I'm definitely wearing it now. I can tell you that. But I don't think I'm going to do a hat. I've been debating it all day. Like, think I'm going to keep no hat. So I guess maybe I'll do gloves, a scarf, and my long lady coat.
Okay. My long lady coat.
And Elliot, real quick before you go, what do you think about the Joel Embiid injury?
No, we're not. Oh, the line broke up. The line broke up. The line broke up.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen you do that before.
The line, it's just, it wasn't, I didn't do anything. Oh. He had a bad cell connection. Bad cell connection. Wait a minute. Before we get to the Embiid thing, because we'll talk about that here, obviously, but a pea coat that goes down to your ankles?
Not a good look.
Yeah, that, I don't.
I mean, quite frankly.
He's not tall enough to wear it, because it's just going to make him look shorter.
Well, men wearing coats down to your ankles.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just saying. It's not necessary.
Yeah. And he's
your calf is good enough. The knee is good enough.
Yes.
You know, like you can wear your little trench, your little pea coat down to your knees. That's good enough.
Oh, what's Elliot? 5'9"?
Yes.
It's going to make him look ridiculous.
Well, how do you walk? It makes walking harder.
Yes, because you're going to have
to walking harder.
Well, because you're going to have to button it up because it's going to be cold. You're not going to have range of motion.
Well, he's not going to button it all the way up.
Okay.
So right, he's going to button it up to his waist so that he can walk freely with the coat. I just don't like the idea that it's all the way down to his ankles.
Yes. Ridiculous.
Is he Matrix? Is he, is he Neo?
Neo.
Yeah. Did Neo wear the long trench coat?
He did.
Right?
He did. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, as Jack mentioned, a press release from the Sixers today. Joel Embiid participated in an on-court workout yesterday after missing the last six games due to a left foot sprain. While the foot sprain has healed, Embiid experienced an increase in swelling in his left knee following the workout. After consulting with the team medical staff and external doctors, Embiid will receive treatment in the coming days to address the swelling. As a result, he will be out for the road trip and reevaluated in approximately 7 to 10 days. I think most people at this point had said this season was over, right? I mean, there was that little flurry that we had around Christmas, around the win over the Celtics, and they were climbing closer to 500, and they were right there. But their ability to survive without Embiid has been terrible this year, and they have their toughest stretch of games of the season coming up in January, and like the trade deadline's February 6th. Which this will take you pretty close to that. So this season is over. What I would say is, if you were thinking about the lottery, and you should prepare for the Sixers to be in the NBA lottery this year. And
we got to be bad enough to keep our pick, right?
Well, it's the lottery, so yeah. So we have if it's top six, we have it.
Right.
So it's going to be hard for them. Just looking at the standings to get like worse than 6th, 7th, 8th as far as worse. So there's going to have to be a little bit of luck because there's a bunch of teams at the bottom of the league that are not only bad, but actively trying to lose, which as long as you have Maxey out there and Paul George out there, like the team's going to win too many games to be one of the three or four worst teams in the league.
Right.
That's not going to happen. But I think, you can't tank now by not playing Maxey and Paul George because the league's going to get mad. But I would imagine that last month of games, boy, we're going to see a lot of DNP illness, DNP, hamstring tweak, that sort of stuff. So as bad as anyone could have seen this season going, this is 10 times worse. This is the worst season since I started doing the podcast, obviously. Just at least in relative to expectations, it's just awful.
I think the biggest thing I normally hear from fans is that it's one thing if it was only going to be this season.
Yeah.
Like we just signed these contracts, so these guys aren't going anywhere anytime soon. So how does it get better moving forward?
Yeah, and as far as Joel goes, is like, I wouldn't be optimistic about it. You know, I would have no. And like, look, if they're not going to decide to tank, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like in terms of the they're not going to do a 3 to 5 year rebuilding plan. Right. They're not going to do it. If you wanted to, you trade Paul George pretty easily at this point. I mean, you could get off of those things if you wanted to, mm-hmm. but like they're not going to do that.
What's the likelihood of that? No.
Like just rebuilding?
No. Well, no. I mean, at some point, if you feel like the big fella, this is what you're going to deal with, then you truly don't have a legitimate chance. So what's the point of...
Yeah,
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can get somebody to take Paul George's contract, then you may as well start to get some other movable pieces because I don't know how much you can count on Joel being healthy.
My gut would be they will... Because I think the only year of Paul George's contract, and there's a lot of people, because they're losing, everybody's like, he's cooked, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I watch every game, every minute of every game. He's not cooked. He's not what he was 5 years ago or 7 years ago, but he can be a contributor to a championship team.
Sure, but you need a team that's ready to win a championship.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I would do if I was them is, what I think they'll likely do, is you go into next year, cross your fingers, maybe Joel, like who knows. And if it's not, then you trade him by the deadline.
Right.
You know, and you get something out of it and you move on. It doesn't do you any good because you're stuck with Joel anyway at this point.
Right.
So it doesn't do you any good to just get rid of him this offseason because Joel's going to play next year and he's going to be here unless you feel like his value is going to go off a cliff by him playing next year, meeting Paul George. Mm-hmm. So I think if they don't somehow miraculously in the first half of next year become a team that looks legitimate, I think then you would really explore it. I don't think they would explore it beforehand. My gut tells me they wouldn't because they have Joel here anyway. They have Maxi here anyway, so on and so forth. So that's what I think.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. I'm just thinking about with these fans, how do you move on from the anger that's directed there and get them to believe in something? Cause I think the fans would be willing to believe in a Maxi, Jared McCain, and you start adding young players and just start over versus, well, this is what we have, and we never get to see them play all together.
But I think then what you end up having, too, is then, look, Maxi just signed a giant contract. Mm-hmm. Maxi doesn't want to be a part of some rebuilding effort. So then what you happen—
Well, sure he does.
No, he doesn't.
As the face of the franchise?
Nope.
What choice does he have?
Well— Look at the way NBA players act. I guess
that's not Maxi.
Your point about like taking down the temperature with the fans, I don't think
because there's so much anger surrounding the team.
I think it'll go from anger to just not caring at all. But I don't think people would be encouraged by watching Tyrese Maxey go out there every night and shoot 14 of 35 and they lose. Like, I just think people will. You've been around here.
I think
here
they're willing
people
to embrace
care.
Young guys with a hope of something can be different. They've given up on this.
Right, yeah.
They've given up on this. So if you got to give your fans something, they'd be willing to start over with young players and you keep adding, you keep building on. Because I look around, man. Look at Cleveland. Look at OKC. I'm not saying they're ready to win a title, but they didn't tank, and they don't have – I mean, they got Donovan Mitchell there.
Yeah.
But, like, they've added a bunch of other pieces, and they got the best record in basketball.
Well, they didn't tank. They were just bad for
a
while.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they
sort of – But they were adding pieces while they were bad.
And Oklahoma City – I also think it's different in markets like that. Like, Oklahoma City – because Oklahoma City tried to tank. It's just they had Chris Paul 1 year. It was, like, a very, very strange way of doing it. I think there is a different – I think they will give next year a shot is my gut, is they will give next year a shot. And if that doesn't work out, then they will do their best to turn the
page. As long as we got a Hall of Fame general manager at the helm, they're always going to have a chance.
They do have a Hall of Fame general manager.
I totally agree.
You're being sarcastic.
Of course
but,
he is.
Well, I mean, his big guy, your big get was Dave Dombrowski.
Who went to the World Series.
Who has been... Okay. He is the general manager.
Okay.
So he didn't go to the World Series. So since he's been here, what is the big move that Dave Dombrowski has made?
Kyle Schwarber.
Okay.
Or Trey Turner.
Okay. Trey Turner, who's a contract, if you, Jack Fritz, could eliminate the Trey Turner contract, would you?
No.
All right. Yes, you would. You want to go over you want to go over on a lie detector with that?
No.
Okay. So he also signed Taiwan Walker.
Yeah.
Right, to a $20 million a year deal. That is 2 years left. What did he do with the last two deadlines to make the team better?
Sat him out.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So that's, I'm just saying, but good general managers can, it doesn't mean that everything is going to work out the way that you want it to.
I know. Take a deep breath.
No. don't deep breath me. If you're gonna come at me, you better be ready to...
Take a deep breath.
No, I just want to hear...
You want to hear your plan.
I just want to hear what Dave Dombrowski's done.
They're going to be good this year.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to be good.
Okay. All right. Oh, boy.
Let's get back to the Eagles.
Yeah. Let's strangle him over there. Little shots here and there.
Yep.
So the good news is we have Tornado Shapiro next.
Oh, we need him this week.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time, writer, I think, that we've had Tornado Shapiro when there looks like weather could be a factor in the game.
Oh, yes. There was weather last week.
Oh, yeah, we did, temperature-wise.
Temperature-wise, yeah. Right. So Tornado Shapiro gives your game day forecast next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.